Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to another portion of my home. We're not meeting in the usual office today, as the city is tearing up all the roads. And today they're literally outside of my my office window. They've got out their cement saw and they're carving out all their connections that they need to do all the water work stuff that they're doing. So today we are hiding from the noise, and we're actually in a space that you might see a little bit more of. I've contemplated moving my entire office down here because I love this space so much. It turned out so well. This is all new. Everything that you see behind me in the floor and everything basically is constructed from scratch. This is one of the flips that we did ourselves. So you see like the stonework and the fireplace. None of that stuff was there prior when I bought the house. But these days I use it for when I work with ceremony with people, and I work with them all day, kind of a long-term, long session mode thing. Not necessarily long-term, but the space, I'll give you a quick little preview. Oh, there's Charlie napping as he does. But don't worry, the dogs are here. Actually, Roxy's right here too. Let's see, yep. And I have another dog that I'm puppy sitting right now, Shadow. You might see her hop around a little bit. And then there's the rest of it. There's a little bar over there. I've got my essential oils when I work with folks, an extra, oh, how do I get over there? Backjack, there we go, for folks when we're doing breathwork stuff. And I use the space on the floor for lots of breathwork. I've got lots of musical instruments that I support folks with, sound bowls and chimes and the drum back there. There you go. There's the lay of the land for those of you who might be wondering what's around the corner, kind of a thing. That sets your nervous system at ease. There you have it. And as I settle in, I'm going to invite you to do much the same. Thank you for appreciating this space. Yeah, I adore it. And as we settle in here, invitation to begin by means of breathing. And as we make our way into a new set of sessions, this time we're focusing on the conception vessel meridian, which is very much about new beginnings in many ways. And it runs up that midline of the front body, this conception vessel meridian, governing our primary feminine and all that goes with that. All things nurturing and nourishing. And I won't geek out too much about it already. I'll intersperse little bits and bobs as we go throughout our 8 weeks here. And as you focus on breathing as we begin, taking your attention perhaps even just a little bit more mindfully to that breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go, to make space. To surrender, to allow. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And as you begin to find those cushions below you, if any part of that is pleasant, or at the very least neutral, savoring it. And every time we savor, it's an opportunity to really drink that nourishment in. Yeah. What is it to be nurtured by means of surrendering into these cushions below you? Thank you for being here. And thank you for all that goes into that. I know it takes a village some days. And thank you to your villages. Thank you to your families. Thank you to all that's gone into this moment to gather here together today. The deepest of thanks to the ancestors, your lineage. And to all of those that have caretaken and stewarded the land which has nurtured, nourished us all, our ancestors that have come before us and those that will come after. A deep bow of gratitude. And all my love to all of those nourishing beings in all of their ways. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. I'm going to invite you to begin, as we often do, by looking either outwardly or inwardly for anything in particular that's pleasant or at the very least neutral. If you're lurking inside of you, there may be a memory or an area of you. Landing on anything that helps you to, again, connect to what seems to feel good. What's working well. As you place your attention there, wherever it's landed, noticing what it is you like the most about this in this moment. Beginning to savor that, breath by breath, drinking it in. And gently beginning to notice the impact. What is it to breathe this in? What is it to sit with what seems to be pleasant and working well for you? And beginning to savor any parts of that that are also pleasant. As we start off with today, we're doing something, well, probably not all that unconventional, but a little bit. We're going to actually invite the conception vessel meridian to really just take in all the work that the governing vessel meridian has been while dancing with and integrating with in the last 2 months. And in a way, giving the conception vessel meridian a bit of an update of, here's what's possible. Here's not necessarily like a map of where to go, but just letting it know that A, change is possible, but more than that, B, change within the governing vessel meridian is possible, meaning change within all things relating to feeling protected, to being provided for, are possible. There's new possibilities here that may not have been even in the realm of the conception vessel meridian's capacity to even take in. So as we invite it to look with fresh eyes, with fresh senses, really, we're actually linking it into all 5/6 senses for the conception vessel meridian, if you can imagine it as a person, just for a little bit, giving it its own little mini session. And as we give it fresh eyes to see, fresh ears to hear, and so on and so forth, allowing it to connect via sensuality, which is a very feminine essence, to all things masculine. And as it takes that in, it can actually begin to receive what it is to be protected, what it is to be provided for, what it is to be supported by the masculine, by the yang, what it is to be supported through helpful, healthy activity. And as we work with that, it's especially relevant to today's work as we're transforming fear in the conception of Vessel Meridian to the conception, pardon me, to fear's healthy role, which is that of practical action. There's a little doggy action. They'll settle in a minute. And as we support the conception of Vessel Meridian and reconnecting to its sensuality, we're also running up permissions. And the words here are, it's allowed to feel good now. It's allowed to feel good now. Healthy action is allowed to feel good now. Protecting yourself is allowed to feel good now. Providing, being provided for either way is allowed to feel good now. And then we're linking that, interestingly enough, into one of the energy layers of protection, that of Wei Qi. Wei Qi bringing in not just protection, but also communication and synthesis. And as we support the conception vessel meridian in connecting in these ways, we're going to simultaneously run hydration on it, supporting it to take it all in with joy and to release any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. And as it drinks in joy, there's almost a release of fear just from that around when it realizes it doesn't actually have to hang on to those old ways of being, that things get to change, that things get to be a little different now than it ever may have been before. And interestingly enough, on that note of practical action, we're linking this into the sixth house, which is very much that house of being in service and practical action to ourselves. And here, bringing in the planetary energy of Mercury that naturally hangs out here. And specifically within that, bringing in communication, again, healthy communication. And then we're linking that all into the throat chakra. And not just throat chakra, but everything that it governs, that entire region. So all of the physical structures of the throat, going all the way down to just below the collarbones even, and all the way up to even just above the jaw. And as that settles, unhooking actually a bundle of belief systems now from the thymus gland. It's almost like the throat chakra reaches down and ends right around that thymus gland region. And the bundle of belief systems here, we're actually protecting the voice with the belief system. It's better to not speak up. It's better just to keep quiet. Don't say anything about that. You don't want to offend them, do you? And as that unwinds and releases through the layers of connective tissue around that thymus gland, I see a channel of energy parting all the way through that conception vessel meridian region of the midline. And it's almost like that energy of like when a bride is about to walk down the aisle and everybody stands up, they're like, oh, look, 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 she's coming, look at her, look at her. There is this reverence, that's the word. There's this deep, deep reverence by the entire body mind as the conception vessel meridian enters the stage front row center. And I just hear all of the body go, all of you is welcome here. And in brackets, even your chaos, even your chaos. that the feminine gets to bring, because it's often perceived as chaos anyways. When we begin to think out of the box or use lateral logic in any way, shape, or form, this is often the thinking in philosophy or the arts, which create healthy disruption in our standard ways of being. And as we bring that in, in addition to that reverence, there's actually just a little bit of fear, almost like a, oh, don't mess with her, man. She could go crazy on you. We don't know. Which is, although a form of respect, maybe not through the lens of respect that it would like to be seen as. And that fear of things going a little bit, almost too overboard into that chaos direction, or even into that energy of don't mess with Mama Bear, she'll mess you up type of thing. Yeah, and not even quite that element. I'm a little off with that analogy of the bear thing. That's actually really healthy for the most part. But when it's used excessively, not so healthy. Here I have it in a word finally. It's the consciousness of intimidation. And we actually need to unhook that consciousness of intimidation. If you can imagine the conception vessel meridian as having like edges, which it's more of a diffuse radiation from the midline in a way. But if we can imagine its very edges, that's where the intimidation is. And it's messing with, there's a line of energy, not through body talk, but through breathwork stuff, that works in the body to give a sense of power. And from here, unhooking the belief system, that intimidation brings power. That intimidation gives power. That intimidation is power. And as we unravel that from the area just adjacent to that midline, by a couple inches, not quite just adjacent, but a little further out, as that dissolves, the line just adjacent to the midline, which is about receiving guidance and acting on that guidance, begins to light up, like it doesn't have to be clouded. Bringing in clear judgment, clear observation, clear senses, bringing in clarity, or the energy of clear skies. That's all linking into house 12, house of endings, releasing, letting go, surrendering, allowing. Also the house of the liver and the liver meridian. And there's actually some adhesions that we need to clean out at the top of the liver, right where it bumps up against that diaphragm. And again, there's the same sort of theme of disrespect and intimidation. The liver is very yin and feminine. And I hear the diaphragm go like, stop being such a bully. Don't be such a bully. Don't tell me how to do my job. Almost as if the liver meridian is attempting to like grab onto that diaphragm and control it via means of bullying, intimidation, etc. This is not at all where I thought we were heading today, but I like it. It's a good theme. And as that begins to unwind through that area, yay for surprises. We also need to run lymphatic drainage through this whole area, and as it runs through this area, cleaning out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. I also see it as clearing out a little bit of microbial, well, almost like infection, but not quite yet. It's like the numbers are just beginning to tip the scales in the direction of the population of unhealthy bacteria being a little bit too high. So we're going to run a body chemistry here to support the immune system and leveling that out. And as we do so, releasing the fear, interesting, the fear of being bullied, the fear of being intimidated. And then also releasing the pattern of you're afraid, but do it anyway. Just push through that fear, ignore it, and deal with that intimidation or bullying. Okay, and we're linking that into the 12th house for its essence of peeling back the layers of who it is we are not. And it's also unhooking the pattern of learned helplessness. And as it releases from here, unhooking it from governing vessel 20 in the center of the crown. Okay, and then as I go deeper into that fear, there's also an element here of, but I don't want to let that pattern go. I need it, because how else will I navigate my life? That's how I deal with women sometimes. In particular, when women scare me. When women scare me. And that might be women in general. It might be a certain population of women. Women in your family. Women in your friends group. Women in a certain setting. Or a certain group. And as we unhook that women scare me bit, that's underlying that, we're going back all the way into now, deep in the family lines, and this pattern of intimidation being used as a parenting mechanism. I don't know about you, but I had one of those moms which could just look at you and you stopped in your tracks because you knew. And I mean, really, a very effective look. I may have inherited it. It was very useful in my lifeguarding days. I could get kids to stop running in their tracks from across the room. It was great. Saved my voice a lot. So, a little bit about me. If you happen to have a little bit of that going on for you, or anything similar in nature to that, we're releasing that learned pattern of intimidation as a parenting technique, I don't have kids, but I use that parenting technique in all sorts of situations. Dogs, etc. The kids at the pool. Back in those days. Now, as we work with this pattern of intimidation, it might not have been through the eyes, it might have been through something else. And as we release it through the family lines, we're actually going back several generations. I see it actually keep rolling back, and everybody might have a different number that it stops on in terms of how many generations it goes back, but it's a minimum of 5. And then it may go back all the way, for many of you, all the way to source. And as it rolls all the way back, releasing it through the ovaries, in particular the feminine ovary, the left side. And from that left ovary, we're unhooking the belief system. I should hide, or I should be hidden. And underlying that, a fear of, like, why aren't you protecting me? You're supposed to be caring for me. I'm so confused. Why aren't you protecting me? And then we're linking that into the protective nature of that governing vessel meridian, which I hear go like, I've got your back. And that left ovary begins to soften, and the entire left pelvis actually begins to melt just a little bit more. And as it melts, as it softens, there's a past life energy here. Specifically working with, and keeping in mind, we don't think of past lives how most do. We don't think that you yourself have lived before, or that you go on to live again. Rather that when somebody passes on, all of their unresolved energies enter a giant pool. When a new being comes into formation, they scoop up a bucket of pool water and they sort that out in their lifetime. Okay, in this particular past life, and I'm seeing all different kinds, everyone might have a different flavor of it, of a stake being like hammered through the ovary. And it's not from a religious setting, although it might evoke that for some of you. It's carrying the energy of being like crucified and being pinned down and punished heavily. And then I'm seeing all sorts of stakes, wooden, metals of different sorts. And as we work with that, we're also unhooking any heavy metal poisoning or any poisoning that may have been carried even through different bacteria, etc., on the wood. And as we release that all from the left ovary, I just hear the words, "You know not what you do. You know not what you do." And it's, although a specific past life, it's also speaking to, in general, the energy of shutting down what's natural and healthy and wanting to contain it, control it, micromanage it. And the need for intimidation actually really came from that. It's like, don't you do that again, don't you mess with me again. So although it came from the place of desiring protection, it was no longer necessarily serving that functionality. But it certainly was a clever way to keep you safe and protected for a long time. And it was a clever way for your parents, your mom, your grandmother, their grandmother, to stay safe and protected. And as we release that, linking eyes and ovaries together, much like a reciprocal. And as we do it, running switching technique, which helps to cope or deal with stress. And although we, for the non-body talkers in the crowd, or if it's been a while since your body talk info knowledge, are the basics. That technique involves pressing gently but firmly over the eyes and working with the switching reflex points or kidney 24 points. Kidney 27 points, sorry. And as we work with that, not 24s, those were different, those were down lower. Kidney 27 points. And as we work with it, imagine that we can also do that same eye thing for the ovaries. And instead of the switching reflex points, we're actually using conception vessel 1 point, which is on that perineum space between either vagina or testes and anus. Okay, so it's a unique take on switching. Also, something I've never seen before. Today's full of surprises, which is very welcome. And as we support the eyes and the ovaries in coping and dealing with stress, I actually see from the ovaries releasing a series of charges in the form of visual charges around women being women being punished or having to suffer, quote unquote, for their crimes or their sins, for being born as a woman, for being in a female body. And then underneath that pattern, there's almost this insidious little thread of, I'll teach you to fear your own kind. I'll teach you to be afraid to be a woman because look what happens when you're female. I'll teach you to fear your own kind. And that's where a lot of the fear of women or the fear of potentially mom, grandma, whatever female relatives it might be, is also stemming from in there. This is old, old, old. And as you release that, letting the ovary off the cross, the crucifixion, so to speak, metaphorically, releasing any martyrdom, any victimhood that may be going on still, keeping some of this stuck. And as that releases, a reclaiming of the natural feminine fire, that deep core fire that's here. And as well as the deep core element of water that runs through the nerves, the bones. And as I see that water element coursing through the bones themselves, through the nervous system itself, reclaiming again what it means to stand as a woman in a female body. And for those that are male in the calls, standing in your feminine essence, and what it means to have that essence of nurturing, of nourishment. Beautiful. And at the same time as all of that, tapping out cortices for your crown chakra to support the crown chakra's revving its engine up to transcend these old patterns that are perhaps older than time itself. That's all now linking into the eighth house, house of death, but also rebirth and regeneration. As we support this eighth house energy in coming alive again. Also working with interrelationships specifically to females. And I'm seeing a series of images of like, oh, I'd love to get to go hang out, but that's a female-only event and no thank you. Or being almost like allergic or fearful of sisterhood type of things. And for some of you, that may not land at all, but for those of you that lands on, feel free to drink this in. And if it doesn't, feel free to let it pass on by. Yeah, and as we work through this eighth house energy around that fear of what it means to be in female connection in group settings, I have an interesting past life thing popping up here around a medicine woman, and it's like a tribal setting around women around the fire in a group setting, and a medicine woman. That was actually sick and near the end of her life, and she wasn't all that young, pardon me, not all that old, she was actually quite young, but she was still near the end of her life, and her brain was a little bit scattered. She wasn't on top of her A game. So she accidentally mixed not quite the right things together, which led to accidental poisoning, not just of her, but of all the females in the tribe that were of age. And from this, unhooking the belief system, to be a woman is to die. To be a woman is to be at risk of early death, to die hard, to suffer in these ways unnecessarily at a young age. And that's all coming off of conception vessel 4, which hangs out just around that navel, just below. And here I'm going to actually run a body chemistry for that point to release any quote unquote poisonous thoughts, emotions, beliefs, attitudes, essentially anything on a mental, emotional level here. And then I see Mother Earth almost like a drum beat arising up through the legs, through the spine, through that pelvis, and through the spine. And then into that pilot light of the body, that Ming Men, in that lumbar 2, lumbar 3, low back region. And from here, the energy circles round to the front as it takes an energy from the environment, including the earth herself, and begins to fill up this space below the navel. And as it calls this space alive, fully, perhaps even taking a moment to breathe deep into this area between the pelvis and the navel. Now I actually see all sorts of water animals like whales and dolphins and like orcas and the teeming life force energy that's inherent within all water creatures, all the way down to the teeny tiny bioluminescence creatures that light up. And there's this dance happening amongst all the sea creatures and the lights that create this energy of celebrating what it means to be in a female form, which is a ritual that may have been long lost. We have been long lost in our cultures. And everybody's cultures and traditions has their own ways of doing this. So drawing on your own individual heritages and what it means to celebrate being a woman. And as we bring in that ancestral wisdom through the kidney 24 acupuncture point, calling alive the days of yore. Calling alive the wisdom and calling alive what that means to be present to it in your body, in your mind, in this soul, in this skin, in this vessel that is you. What is it to carry that wisdom, to hold that fire, to be a fire keeper, a light keeper? All linking into house 10. And here, working actually with the planetary energy of Saturn, which is not very feminine, and has a tendency to make unrealistic demands when it's not so healthy aligned. But when it is in alignment, it actually brings in realistic expectations. How to integrate the knowledge of yore with the circumstances of today is a threading a needle of sorts, perhaps. And as we bring Saturn energy to support that, it's actually bringing in the essence of what it means to also be respected. And Saturn energy can, while it carries some responsibility, can carry some wisdom in the area of being organized, it can also carry the energy of what it means to receive respect in a way, which is not a classic Saturn thing that I've seen a lot of before. But I'm going to assert that here and now. So as we bring in this energy of supporting respect by means of bringing in realistic expectations and Saturn energy to the table, we're also working with the 10th house's aspect, its consciousness of recognition and appreciation. What does it mean to be appreciated as a female in today, in here and now? And then we're linking all of that into the entire length of the conception vessel meridian as it runs through this midline. And then we're releasing the need to cling out of a fear of like collapsing or being too weak to hold oneself up. And with this, releasing essentially the belief / identity of I'm too weak. I'm too weak. I'm betting the ancestors have something to say about that. And as we unhook the I'm too weak from here, unhooking the need to want to just cling on for dear life, for help. And this is another layer of that learned helplessness releasing. And as that comes off, there's a little piece through the trachea, our air pipe, that's a little bit stuck in that region of where the conception vessel meridian flows. There's actually an element here of terror, so it's fairly strong fear. Terror for being seen as feminine in today's patriarchal culture on whatever level. This looks pretty deep in the subconscious. This looks pretty core stuff. So even if you have made your peace with a lot of that, this is getting another one of those deeper layers. And as we begin to release this through the front of the throat, I'm actually going to do something that sounds a little counterintuitive. And I'm going to invite it to actually just disperse evenly. However it does so, it might not look so even at first, to the entire body-mind in a way bringing in tensegrity so that this voice doesn't have to feel alone or all on its own or abandoned to have to stand on its own two feet, but rather bringing in the support of the entire body mind so it can learn what it means to stand on its own two feet and find its way through with support. And as it drinks in this support, we're then going to remind it that there is a governing vessel meridian pathway that hangs up behind it, governing vessel 14 to 16. And we can imagine that as being this hand. The hand of the throat gets to soften deeply into what it means to be supported as it navigates this new terrain. And without the terror there, it may actually become something joyful, something pleasurable. And I see the energy now of the moon beginning to be swallowed through the entire length of the throat. As the moon goes in, I see it going from the very core of the throat out and expressing. And sometimes the moon or the night or the shadow or the dark can get a little bit dicey for some folks, and we've often been taught to fear that too. And as this enters, I actually see it as healthily releasing the fear of the unknown, as the moon energy brings in the essence of maternal love. What is it for your yin nature to receive maternal love? There's things that happen in the dark that can't actually happen in the lights. Think of what happens in the earth and the soil with all the creatures that won't do well in light. They actually sustain the earth. They create nourishment that allows the garden to grow, that allows the food for your animals to eat, so that allows you to take all of that energy in. So we're actually dependent deeply on drinking in nourishment via the darkness, via the earth, via the soil, via what's below the surface. And as I speak to that element, I see the moon almost begin to smile and be like, yeah, that's the good stuff. And then I see that moon begin to playfully dance up and down the throat, inviting in perhaps a reclamation of the songs of the women before you. Maybe there was, not necessarily, and there might be traditional cultural songs that come up, and if you know those, the depths of those, or as they reveal themselves to you if you go looking for them, but also speaking very simply to the songs that perhaps your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your mom may have sung to you. And my Benica, which is Romanian, perhaps for great-grandmother, we use words very weirdly in our families, so just to denote certain relatives. So I think it's great-grandma in Romanian, Benica, might be off on either the culture, which is possible, or it might just be grandma, either way. Her favorite song to sing to all the grandkids, self-included, was You Are My Sunshine. I guess the great grandkids. So she would sing that every night as a lullaby whenever we were over there, or even if you were just cozied up on her lap, she would offer that. So maybe something as simple as those songs of lullabies around being nurtured. And as we work with that all, it's linking into a cell repair on all things throats and neck. Around any patterns that it's been carrying around, hiding or having to be hidden. I actually see the story of Anne Frank, where there was like forced quietude to hide and not be seen in order to survive, also release. So any elements of having to hide to survive, past life, through the family lines, releasing through here. And as that releases, inviting in now that it no longer has to hide or be hidden, what it means to be heard, what it means to be accepted for what it is you have to say, sing, express, verbally, perhaps even non-verbally. And as this comes out of hiding, I actually see the entire back body begin to almost come out of like a fetal-like posture and come upright with pride, with respect, here it is, with honor. And then as that spine stands even straighter and taller, bringing in the consciousness now of what it means to be elevated once again. And then I actually see your feminine essence reclaiming its throne. And now there's the energy of royalty in the room. And not necessarily in a way that requires intimidation, although many royals may use that. This is more the gentle, harmonious respect that comes from this loving essence of what it means to be in your feminine. And to treat that as the royalty that it very well may be. It very well may be. And that image of that the bride with a reverence / intimidation begins to drop away. It's almost as if that young bride has grown up to become a queen. As you embrace your own queendom and all that comes with that, also bringing in the energy of your wise woman, your crone. I see her standing just behind, but over top of, in a way that the voice of the crone, the wise woman, comes through the crown chakra, supporting anything else the conception vessel meridian might need to transcend, to maintain her queendom, to maintain what it means to take your own seat on your own throne. And all the yin, all of the feminine organs, and all the entire endocrine system, I see them linking together and into this queen energy. And as they gather together in this way, there's no longer a fear of the feminine working together, and the organs, all of the yin, the heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidney, the spleen, and all of those endocrines begin to gather almost as if they can be in a tribal fire themselves. And they begin to connect in ways that may not have been so available before. There's no longer that fear of sisterhood or that fear of what it means to gather together as women. There's support here. And with this, unhooking the consciousness of backstabbing / lack of loyalty is how I'll phrase it. And with that, off of that comes, and I imagine we might touch into some of these again, we'll see, the pattern of needing to be a better man and being masculine in some way to measure up in today's standards or today's world. And as that releases, I see, you know that phrase, something's got her back up? I see that energy of anticipation, of needing to protect, coming off of the upper back / shoulder region. And with that, the sacrum begins to realign, creating a new foundation. And we're tapping here. Invitation to breathe, receive, and drink that in. Breathing however feels right, however you're called to. We're working with the TMJs, those jaw joints, linking them into that sacrum region, that where it meets the ilium, the sacroiliac joints, the SI joints. And this reciprocal pattern tends to work with digestion. And as it does so, we're going to simultaneously unwind some tension through the connective tissue around the piriformis muscle, which helps to keep our pelvis level. And I'm seeing it primarily on the right side, although some of you might have it on the left as well. We're going to do both, so no worries, we're going to get it all. And as we unwind that, we're also releasing through here, as the expression goes, who or what is a pain in your ass? Who or what is a pain in your ass? And as you notice that, whatever information seems to come to mind. Unwinding irritation, frustration on a chronic level through the gallbladder meridian on the right side, the masculine side, around essentially this being something that on a low level, although chronically so, may be inducing just a subtle or potentially even more than subtle lack of stability. Okay, so as we release that energy that was somewhat destabilizing, we need to also unhook a bundle of belief systems from the navel. This is our center for connection, center for centeredness itself. And it's around the theme of, I don't belong here. I don't belong, fill in the blank, in this group, in this space, in this body, in this group of people, in this job, in this friends group, in this workplace. Wherever it is you have a sense that you don't quite fit in or belong. And as we release that, we're going to simultaneously release a fear of being excluded and a fear of being included at the same time. That's created a bit of a knot, so to speak. So as we unwind and release that, we're also going to run hydration and all the circulation pieces, all the circulation healing resources around this navel, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. And then also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Taking out endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous and our immune system, and really most of our body for that matter, to heal. And as we work with that, also releasing a fear of connection, specifically, not surprisingly, a fear of feminine connection. And that's coming from like the root of the navel, so like the deepest part of the navel on the inside of the body. And as it unwinds, I actually see it as releasing lines of energy up to both arms and down to both legs. Okay, and this is actually going into at the time when you were in the womb space. And we were just figuring out what it means to move through the quadrants of the body, which is a particular stage of gestational development that happens in the first trimester. And as we release the sort of holding pattern that's here, the disruption or the rupture in development, by releasing that fear of connection, it's also releasing perhaps the oldest fear of mom that ever was, right from that second week of life in the womb, between days 7 and 14, before we're actually even in that place of being able to move our quadrants, being able to move our little arm buds and leg buds. Very cute. I think of it as very cute. Sometimes people look at the developing fetuses and they don't necessarily think cuteness, but I see it as very cute. So as we work with that energy, from that second week of life, releasing that fear of connection, we're also needing to release it through the cells that you actually first implant onto the uterine lining with. So before there's even that strong navel umbilical cord connection happening, we implant via the prefrontal cortex. So you essentially like boof, hit the uterine lining and you hang out there for a little bit. And if that wasn't very secure, you can feel like, I don't belong here. Or something along those lines. On a severe end, if it was very touch and go, it can also show up as lifelong suicidal ideation or depression or treatment-resistant depression. And as that releases through the headspace, through that prefrontal cortex, center of wisdom, higher power, or connection to higher power, and empathy, we're also releasing a fear of wisdom, a fear of connection to higher power, and a fear of empathy on very subtle levels. Ooh, no small territory we're touching into. And as that releases from that prefrontal cortex, I just hear the words, much like a permission. It's safe to know. Speaking to all things brow chakra, including this region of the head brain. And as we work with that, it's safe to know. It's safe to be in the know. Working with the idea that knowledge is safe. Not necessarily something that's used for one-upmanship. I know something you don't know. Or any of that sort of consciousness behind gossipy energy that's often carried. Releasing that, the fear of missing out in a way that goes with some of that and any of the games of one-upmanship and restoring the fact that it's safe just to know things and to know information. Not necessarily even to have to do anything, but if it enters your awareness, it's okay that it's there. And then also bringing in the energy of boundaries so you don't have to, you know, have all things known. That might be a little overwhelming at times. But what does enter is okay to be there. And that energy of boundaries coming in through primarily the Wei Qi and the liver meridian. The lungs as well. Okay, and then as we work with this prefrontal cortex, we actually need to run hydration. Bringing in joy, along with that capacity to go with the flow, especially to be in the flow of the knowing, to go with the flow of the know, if I may be so corny. And as that works through this entire region, I see it as releasing one more brutal past life around having one's like head smashed against the rocks for knowing or having foresights or having like visions, precognitions, psychic awareness. And as the releases, also unwinding tension through the entire cervical spine, which held a lot of tension in that moment attempting to survive. And this actually, this past life, looks like it was in the family lines. And it came, the other person, the person who did the killing, had very much the energy of like, I'll show you, I'll be better than you, I'll one-up you. With a lot of rage, a lot of vehemence, a lot of hatred. Okie dokie, and as we release that all, needing to realign the sphenoid bone. And we're actually unwinding connective tissue throughout the entire bone. This is the bone that all of your other skull bones attach to. Osteos often refer to it as the master bone or the god bone in the body. Once you align it, everything else can fall into its place around the entire skull, which reflects the pelvic alignment and a reciprocal nature. And once you get both ends sorted out, everything in the middle gets to feel a little bit more secure and stable. So all the other bones get to realign themselves. So what is it to realign your entire skeleton, starting all the way from the sphenoid through that whole pattern that I have outlined? And as we work with that, what is it to realign all of your bones? I see all of the ancestors also begin to realign in ways that form almost like lines. I see them as like lines of energy on either side of the extending out of the vaginal canal, welcoming you and your presence and your earthliness, celebrating that you get to be here at this time. And celebrating that you get to do it with all of the wisdom of the women that have come before you and all of their gifts that get to be known and get to be expressed. And linking that into the conception vessel meridian to stand tall, to stand proudly in that energy of those women that have come before you. Invitation to breathe and receive as we tap this part out. As we bring this in for a nice soft landing, I have a song for you. I actually have like 12 songs, not gonna lie. I got one a little crazy selecting songs, and I'm gonna go with this one. And it's short, it's a minute 53. It's called We Are the Women, and it's by Lisa. Last name is two words, dancing hyphen lights. The album is Sophia Songs.
We are the women, we've come to drum. We are the channel between the earth and the sun. We hold the wisdom of the ancient ways. We will bring peace to these troubled days. We are the women. We've come to drum. We are the channel between the earth and the sun. We hold the wisdom of the ancient ways. We will bring peace to these troubled days. We've come to drum. We are the channel between the earth and the sun. We hold the wisdom of the ancient ways. We will bring peace to these troubled days. We are the women. We've come to drum. We are the channel between the earth and the sun. We hold the wisdom of the ancient ways. We will bring peace to these troubled days.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. Thank you for your deep work today. It's no small session. And as we integrate this, may you go with ease, with boldness, with softness, with fierceness. Thank you, my loves. And thank you for all of you for being you. All my love, and I look forward to next week. And as I bring things in for that nice soft landing, I also wanted to say thank you for all the feedback from last week. It was so helpful to receive, and feel free to keep it coming. I understand there was a bit of a sound thing that happened, and I'm going to attempt to sort that out this weekend. I've got a tech-savvy friend coming in as Zoom has sort of switched around, it looks like, how the audio was being shared. So I'd hope that would be a very different experience than what it turned out to. So if I can resolve that, I will pass that knowledge on to you all. Okay? Mwah! All my love, and I'm going to invite anyone who would like to hang out if you need anything to